Distortion, so we stop her, you know, just around 2 weeks. Then we start with her. I think, you know, just she's.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sunday edition of Racing Across America. I am Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us as always. Thanks also to our friends at Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship of this program, some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB throughout their championship meet, which will run through early April and Florida Derby weekend. We will be down there for that, so looking forward to that visit, certainly, and a little respite with some warm weather. Hopefully by then it's warming up here, although, again, can't really complain about the winter so far up here. But again, thanks to our friends at Gulfstream for their sponsorship. Otherwise, as usual, on a Sunday morning, we'll do a recap of some stakes action from yesterday. We'll do a little handicapping, some news and notes and whatnot, and news that I will toss out there. We've mentioned it the past couple of days, but I will remind you, there was no racing at Santa Anita yesterday in anticipation of weather. They're going to race today, but tomorrow there was a holiday card scheduled, and that has been canceled. So they'll get in a day of racing today, but yesterday and tomorrow canceled out at Santa Anita. So keep that in mind. If you play some of the Southern California action, that is the situation today, today and tomorrow. But there was nice racing action otherwise yesterday. You know, a little quiet as far as stakes action. I mean, there was stakes and some nice stakes. At Tampa, there was maybe a little action on the three-year-old scene that could play into, you know, Sam Davis, Tampa Derby, and potentially Kentucky Derby. The Businda, who knows, might have some Kentucky Oaks implications. So there were some stakes that could play into bigger things down the road. But overall, I would say kind of a quiet weekend. That'll change a little bit next weekend, certainly. Things will pick up down at the fairgrounds, and as I understand it, the PPs are already out, I think, so you can get started down there. But, you know, once things do get cooking, it seems like every weekend, certainly every other weekend, there's some three-year-old Derby trail action that will be the focus of attention and much more. And, of course, Dubai World Cup and Florida Derby, all sooner rather than later. So, again, the little bit of an overall quiet weekend this weekend, but some nice stakes nonetheless, maybe of the smaller variety. But we'll take a look, and as I say, they could play into some things going forward, including yesterday's Busanda at Aqueduct for the three-year-old fillies. And the winner, probably one to watch going forward. We'll see what the future holds, but it was a Chad Brown trainee that they paid well over $600,000 for, a colt. I thought Affirmative Lady with some stakes experience already for Graham Motion was going to be the interesting horse in here. And Affirmative Lady, a little bit disappointing. She runs third, the number three horse. Gambling Girl ran second. I had that one down in the third spot for Todd Pletcher and Rapoli, but ran an okay second. But Occult took them into the stretch and moved away here. Was sitting second for much of the trip behind Sweetest Princess, but when she got the lead, kind of opened up in the stretch. The chart margin is just about four lengths. She was the 7-5 favorite. This was the third career start for Occult, who probably disappointed a little bit, given a Chad Brown trainee in the debut ran fourth, but then followed that up and won nicely to break the maiden last time, middle of December, and comes back in the third career start and gets a stakes win. Chad said likely to stay in New York with a colt. The Busher was up next, but the Busher was going to be a cutback to a mile. And according to the Dave Greinig follow-up article I read, Chad Brown was kind of not really considering cutting back. That would make the next logical New York start the Gazelle, which doesn't come up until April 8th. We'll see. You know, in this day and age, I guess that's not an incredible layoff. But we'll see what's up next for a cult. As they say, could be the grade three Gazelle right here in New York, but that is early April. So nice win yesterday for a cult in, you know, a small field. Again, have to see what the future potentially holds for her. And let me see, because I do think there was a buyer figure out. I was looking for buyers this morning and didn't see a full list, but I thought there were some New York buyers. Let me just double check here, which would have included her. I think Andy Serling tweeted out the New York. Yeah, some the buyer figures, occult 78. So again, so far occult a 54 in that debut, which as I say, a fourth place finish that was maybe a little bit disappointing, but then followed up with a win in the maiden breaker, 72, and then yesterday a 78. You know, not knocking it out of the park, not eye popping for a buyer, but we will see what you get going forward for occult. All right, there was also some interesting action down at Tampa yesterday. We talked a little bit about that on the show yesterday with both Mark Cassie, who had some runners, and Ren Carruthers, who does the commentary, the pre-race commentary for Tampa. And in the Pasco, I liked the Cassie runner Armstrong, who had run well up at Woodbine, and that was the sticking point there. Had been on the synthetic in the first three starts of the career, but was a stakes winner up at Woodbine. I thought the horse would be interesting coming down and trying this company. Wrong there, 3-1. Armstrong ran sixth and last in the field. The other horse, the other Cassie horse, Champion's Dream, from talking to Mark yesterday, I had the feeling he was maybe a little higher on that horse. And you can see that Champion's Dream's the number four, and looks to have the momentum to maybe get up and make this interesting and maybe even go by the eventual winner, Zydeco. Just couldn't get enough momentum to get up there, but does make it very, very close. So I thought it was a pretty good run from Champion's Dream, the Cassie horse who had won the Nashua while in the Danny Gargan barn. Mark said, I think he said he had the horse a couple of months so far. Three-year-old debut for Champion's Dream, but again, had won the Nashua last year. So that'll be interesting. I thought it was a good try, as I say. I thought it might get the momentum to go by. But Zydeco, a little bit overlooked. Longest price on the board at 9-1, and gets it done off an optional claiming allowance win, a nice optional claiming allowance win last time at Gulfstream. The numbers were maybe a little bit light, but boy, looked pretty good yesterday getting it done. In the Pasco. And again, that's three-year-olds going seven. Could play into the Sam Davis, could play into the Tampa Bay Derby. We'll see what they do going forward. It is notable, though, that Zydeco, both the trainer and the jockey, it was for both, it was only their second career stakes victory. So it was a nice afternoon for jockey and trainer getting it done in the Pasco to put another stakes win on both of their resumes for, again, only the second time. But it was a nice performance. It wound up to be a neck, but they were well clear. They were over eight lengths clear to the third-place finisher. So, again, interesting to watch these two going forward. I would wonder with Armstrong if maybe it's now not, you know, ran up, as Mark said, ran up in Canada because of Canadian bred, and has run well on the synthetic up there. And I wonder if it's not, you know, let's head back, you know, wait for the Woodbine season and think of maybe Queen's Plate or King's Plate going forward. We'll see what happens with Armstrong, but that was a little bit disappointing in the first start on the dirt, whereas the other Cassie runner, I thought, ran, Champion's Dream ran well. But Zydeco, the winner, and as I say, the top two, worth paying attention to looking ahead. The Wayward Lass Wayward Lass was interesting because the two class horses, number 7, Pass the Champagne, and number 1, Beth's Dream, were both coming off of layoffs. But they had both run against much better. You look down the company lines with Pass the Champagne, the Kentucky Oaks, the Ashland finished behind Malathot, Beth's Dream, and the Molly Pitcher to finish behind Search Results. So as I say, they were the class of the field. But Beth's Dream hadn't been seen since July. Past the Champagne hadn't been seen since February. The Kentucky Oaks run for Past the Champagne was in 2021. So these were some horses that have been on the sidelines for a while. Because of that, I took a little pop with Tap Dance Fever, who I thought had a little more recency, did have more recency, having a win in the middle of December at Tampa. And it was for Gerald Bennett, you know, the guy who was annually right up there amongst the top trainers, if not at the top, down at Tampa Bay Downs. Tap Dance Fever is going to be the number 6 horse. Past the Champagne and Beth's Dream, the two favorites, were kind of duking it out early. And I think the recency and the fitness because of that recency did help Tap Dance Fever, because the early duel, I will say, Past the Champagne runs very well off a layoff of just about a year, but I think the recency got Tap Dance Fever up and by at a nice little 4-1 price. So, I was kind of happy with the results there in that I took a little shot on the recency and against the two classier horses, and it worked out. And I think it worked out because of the fitness and the recency, helped by the duel early between the two favorites. You know, they weren't blazing on the front end, but off of those layoffs, it maybe took its toll a little bit. Beth's Dream was well back in third. I mean, the chart margin between the top two was ahead, and then it was about 8 lengths back to third and Beth's Dream. Beth's Dream went off at 7-5 and was the slight favorite because Past the Champagne was also 7-5. But again, the Gerald Bennett runner, the winner, at 4-1, a $10 mutual there. So nice performance for Tap Dance Fever. had tried Stakes Company earlier, and on the stakes races on the page, a couple of fourth place finishes, but breaks through for Gerald Bennett and Farrar yesterday down at Tampa. In the the Gasparilla, in the Pasco, we saw the 3-year-old boys. In the Gasparilla, it was the 3-year-old girls. And, you know, I was talking with Ren Carruthers yesterday, and we both wound up on Darth Vader. I thought Darth Vader you looked around and tried to find another direction. I thought Darth Vader, off the win in the Sandpiper, just looked absolutely solid. Dreaming of Snow for Gerald Bennett was interesting. Off 3 progressing buyer numbers. Had run 4th in the Sandpiper, but had come back and put in a nice little confidence builder. So Dreaming of Snow was interesting to me. Neither of those did much of it. Darth Vader was a 7-5 favorite, 6th in the field of 8. I mean, really offered up nothing after a nice win in the Sandpiper, but getting it done. Number 7, Opus 42. Under Dan Centino, Charlie's Wish 2nd, the number 5, and number 2, Personal Pursuit, the Mark Cassie runner. We talked a little bit about this one with Mark. That one runs 3rd. Victory chart margin is going to be a nose, as you see. The 5 makes it very interesting in here. 8-1 over 12-1, so you wound up with a buck exact of $87 with a couple of horses that escaped the betting public and me a little bit. Arno Delacour trains Opus 42. This was the 4th career start. First couple of starts, nice second place finishes, but both of those were on the turf. Came down to Tampa and tried the dirt last time, and it was a solid victory there. So now 2-for-2 since moving to the dirt, including a stakes victory. You know, we'll see. I'm not sure we're looking at Kentucky Oaks runners. I'm not sure we're not looking at. It was not a field that was jumping off the page necessarily with talent. But again, Opus 42, now 2-for-2 on the dirt, at least becomes kind of an interesting player on the 3-year-old filly scene. And we'll see where she heads next. In in the fifth season at Oaklawn, and talked a little bit about this one during the afternoon show yesterday. I thought it was a really evenly matched bunch, a kind of a fun group in here. Ginobili went off as the 9-5 favorite, and I said, boy, if you look down the PPs of Ginobili, A, the two turns might be a little bit of a question mark, but B, it seems like Ginobili had run very well any time at Del Mar, including the second-place finish back in 2021 in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. Had only one start in 2022, pretty good effort, but at Del Mar. So I was willing to take a little bit of a shot against Ginobili. I put number three, Heart Rhythm, on top. Heart Rhythm wound up going off at 6-1 from a 12-1 morning line. Heart Rhythm's number three horse makes a little run. You can see in the blue silks there, the three is looking okay, but is in a scrum for second and winds up running fourth. Ginobili, though, nobody challenging. Chart margins, four lengths, and it's a laugher for the 9-5 favorite. Run and race second. Rated R Superstar, the 10-year-old, winds up running third in there. As a 9-year-old at the end of last year, won the stake over at Remington on Springboard Mile Day, which got a lot of social media attention as a 9-year-old. Now a 10-year-old, he had won this race last year, rated our superstar at 25-1. Yesterday went off at 7-1, 4-1 on the morning line. But the betting public looked at the 10-year-old and said, "You know what? Can still show some foot there," and did, running third amongst, as I say, that group that were in the second tier. But it was new challenge for Ginobili, and I had a buyer for Ginobili as well, 96, pretty solid number for Ginobili, which is comparable, and part of the reason why he was the morning line favorite in the race. Three of the last five races had run triple-digit buyers, the other two a 91 and a 99, so he's right in that wheelhouse yesterday at Oaklawn. Gets it done, first stakes victory at two turns. Gets it done, you know, for me, the question mark was outside of Del Mar. He did that. The connections subsequently have said, again, it's just the standard. Let's see how he comes out of it and kind of enjoy the victory and then see what our options are. But they did mention for Ginobili, they may look Saudi or Dubai. They may look at some of the Middle East races for Ginobili off of the victory yesterday in the fifth season. At Gulfstream, a couple of stakes, little stakes, but again, may play into going down the road during the Gulfstream meet, so maybe worth taking a look at the results and tucking in your back pocket, as I say, for down the road at Gulfstream. The Philly and Sunshine, Philly and Mayor Turf, and again, You toss out Sunshine Millions because that's what it was for a long time. Yeah, it's not the Sunshine Millions anymore. $75,000 up for grabs for the ladies going a mile on the grass. Nice little field, though. Sweet Danny Girl I had underneath. I put Sugar Fix on top. Sugar Fix, the number 7 horse. Sweet Danny Girl, the number 4. And Joel Rosario just keeps Sweet Danny Girl going because it seems like maybe Mona Stella will go by. Maybe Sugar Fix will go by. You can feel here Sugar Fix isn't going by. Mona Stella on the outside, probably too late, way too late as they get close to the wire. So nice ride from Joel Rosario on Sweet Danny Girl, who, again, seemed kind of logical. Nice little 4-year-old filly, maybe to keep our eyes on, as I say, going forward. This is a runner who had as a 4-year-old now, a newly turned 4-year-old, but as a 4-year-old, only 5 career starts going into yesterday. But obviously they had some expectations. First couple of starts going back to 2021 and the 2-year-old season, maiden breaker, then went up to Keeneland, and in the second start won a stakes race. Followed up running third in a stake at Churchill. as a two-year-old still, and then so far moving into the three-year-old season, had a couple of starts. Devona Dale at Gulfstream last March ran fourth behind Kathleen O, talented runner, and then the Eight Bells at Churchill in May had run a little bit of a disappointing fifth. That was the worst performance of the career. Had laid off since then, so was coming back from a little bit of a layoff. This was a pretty nice-looking return from the layoff for Sweet Danny Girl. So again, lightly raced four-year-old, as I said when I kicked into this. Maybe some horses to watch going forward, and you'd have to think she will be off of that performance. And then also yesterday at Gulfstream, the Sunshine Sprint. I used Unsociable, the number three horse, and just did not get any run whatsoever. The winner here is going to be number one, Lightning Larry, Cajun's Magic second, Gatsby third. But Lightning Larry, the betting public made this one the favorite. I was not that high, but Delgado is having a really good meet, and I think that probably attracted a lot of the attention. It looks like justifiably so, because the chart margin winds up to be two. There is no threat here in the lane. Cajun's Magic a clear second, and as I say, Gatsby third. But Lightning Larry had come in off a November race running third after having shown speed and fading. Again, that was an optional claimer. There was a big string of stakes races under that, though. And there was a pretty good-looking Gulfstream record and a trainer going very well. There were things to like. I just thought some other horses, for me, there were some other horses in the race that were a little more intriguing. Lightning Larry, 5-1 on the morning line, was the fifth choice, actually, on the morning line, but went off as the favorite. So the betting public nails it with Lightning Larry in the Sunshine Sprint. And I wanted to show a couple of races that, likely will play out going forward, given the connections and the performances. I wanted to go back to Oaklawn yesterday, and there was a nice little three-year-old race, an optional claimer, non-winners have won, fourth race yesterday at Oaklawn. A mile, so two turns, got to like that. I thought Two Eagles River was interesting for Chris Hartman, who's having a great meet at Oaklawn, came out of a second-place finish in a stake at Oaklawn back on New Year's Eve. Two Eagles River winds up running third as the 3-2 close-up second choice. The favorite, though, is 7-5, Verifying. I had that one right underneath. Other talent-wise, these two were pretty close. But Verifying goes out for Brad Cox. This is a sibling to Midnight Bijou, so obviously there were high hopes. They paid over $750,000 and is now 2-4 in the career, won the debut maiden breaker, then went into the Champagne and ran second in the Champagne, tried the Breeders' Cup Juvenile and ran sixth, but now comes back to start the three-year-old season. Again, mile distance yesterday at Oaklawn, and I think we have a 97 buyer there. Do note, again, this one goes the mile. I'm just looking for the other chart. Ginobili in the fifth season, that was a mile as well. Ginobili goes the mile in 137.35. Verifying goes the mile in 137.23. So fraction of a second, but Verifying made the mile faster than the older Ginobili. So that's notable as well, with a nice 97 buyer. And again, sibling to Midnight Bijou, Brad Cox barn, 2-4 so far, a second before this in the Grade 1 Champagne. So there's a three-year-old maybe to kind of keep our eyes on going forward. And then at Gulfstream, there was an interesting race. This has a couple of angles to it. Fifth race yesterday at Gulfstream had the debut of Sergeant Pepper. $1.6 million purchase right up the Northway, summer of 2021. Again, $1.6 million, Todd Pletcher trainee, Uncle Mo on top, Dame Dorothy underneath. Dame Dorothy was talented, produced a sibling called Spice is Nice that for the same connections won its career debut, going a mile at Gulfstream in a maiden special in 2020. So there were things to like about Sgt. Pepper. Sgt. Pepper, the number eight horse, attracted the attention of the betting public at 6-5. Sgt. Pepper, again, the number eight horse, and you can see the chicklet, excuse me, right there. But boy, they get into the stretch, and Sgt. Pepper does not join the marching band, but goes backwards in the lane. However, the winner, and as I said, there was another angle here of interest. Cuvier gets it done, the number six horse at 9-1. You will see the six horse. You see the chicklet there. And chart margin's going to be half a length over another horse, Al Atlasi, the 10 horse, who is the second choice at 9-5. But you see Cuvier dig in and hold off this horse that, again, the 10 horse was taking some action from the betting public. But Cuvier, nice win. And as I say, the other angle here, I had Cuvier run underneath. I put Sgt. Pepper on top, Pletcher, expensive, yada, yada. Cuvier, though, by Collected, who's a nice win early sire. Cuvier had worked 10.1 before the sale, had a sibling that was kind of win early. But more importantly, Sgt. Pepper trained by Todd Pletcher and went off at 6-5. Cuvier trained by Todd Pletcher and went off at 9-1. It was the old longer half of the uncoupled entry getting it done. And it's Todd Pletcher at $21.60. But it was a debut as well for Cuvier. So we'll see what the future holds there. I thought it was a nice, gutsy performance, as they say, holding off the other horse that was taking some action coming down the lane. But again, a couple of three-year-olds perhaps to keep our eyes on, verifying certainly over at Oaklawn. All right, there was some of the action from yesterday. There's a little preview. We'll come back after the break and do a little preview, do a little handicapping, maybe take a look at the late pick five at Aqueduct for this afternoon. Won't give out a ticket necessarily because we don't have scratches yet, but we'll go through some ideas late pick five at Aqueduct, and then a little bit later on some news and notes and whatnot. So we continue on a Sunday morning racing across America. Stay tuned.
This is a championship meet. All the best jockeys in the world are here, and I'm excited to ride against them. You get to watch some really incredible, talented athletes out there.
To us, it's a place to be in the winter.
I love Gulfstream Park because of the racing.
The palm trees, the beach is right here. The horse racing is some of the best in the country.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Let's take a look at, late pick five from Aqueduct today. And Aqueduct post time, 12:20. Keep that in mind. They bounced that post time around a little bit. Excuse me, this time of year. 12:20 for the opener at Aqueduct. 2:17, the scheduled post time for the fifth race, which kicks out the late pick five. Although, keep in mind, the last few days, they've moved up their post times a little bit. But the fifth at Aqueduct today, it's a maiden special three-year-old filly race, seven furlongs the distance. And again, not going to give out a ticket because we don't have scratches at this point, but some ideas in the late pick five if you might look at that today. 7-6-4-1, LeGrotte goes out for Tom Morley. first couple of starts of the career were not much. One was on the turf, maybe didn't like the turf. The second, there was some trouble. So you got to the third start of the career, and you weren't quite sure what was there. But by Bolt D'Oro, this was a runner that was, you know, meant to have some win early potential with that sire, and lived up to it last time with a near miss at 11-1. But I think that is the race that we can kind of hang our hat on to have some confidence. That's more likely the talent level. So I'll go there. The horse to beat and the logical favorite is going to be My Betsy for Bill Mott, who has shown a nice progression in the first three starts of the career. First couple were up at Saratoga. They were a couple of third place finishes and then had a little bit of a layoff and came back in the middle of December and showed some ability going a mile, showing some early pace and then getting caught at late and running second, but running second to a colt, the horse we just saw win the stake in New York yesterday. So I think that flatters My Betsy, and as I say, likely the one to beat. And Zairati, the Rob Falcone runner, by Into Mischief. You know, one of the siblings was a winner, that one of a couple of siblings. So, but by Into Mischief, sold at Ocala in March and sold for $145,000. So attracted some attention, obviously. The workouts, I think, are interesting. So I'll tilt there because, you know, I don't think there's anybody that's a world beater. But if we're looking at the numbers, it's probably going to go through either the 7 or the 6. That said, the fresh face doesn't have to be a superstar to get it done in here. Looking at the numbers, the rest have run at this point. So for me, in the 5th, 7, 6, 4, and 1. Sixth race at Aqueduct this afternoon, maiden special, filly and mare, 4-year-olds and up, going 7 furlongs in the 6th. I have it 5, 1, 3, and 7. If you watch enough, you know the Chad Klarovich runners always attract my attention. First time out of the box, if they don't get it first time, I'll typically give them another shot. And this one, a near miss second in debut, middle of December at 6-5. I can't get past this one, really, with this, you know, this team, even money on the morning line. So, and clearly with this team, we'll live up to that in the afternoon and take a lot of action. But if I was looking for an alternative, Wings Like Eagles, I think off the past couple of starts, started the career on the turf for Bill Mott, and then actually started the career in another barn for the first start, but then moved over to Bill Mott and continued on the turf first four starts of the career. And they weren't bad, but moving over to the dirt seems to have run a little bit better. Not better numbers necessarily, just better finishing position. So we'll see if this horse has found a home on the dirt. But off the first couple, again, if you're looking for an alternative top pick, could make a case there. And Granny's Connection. Connect is a sire that I think is interesting with win early types. And this one ran a decent little second behind Shinful in the debut in the middle of December. If the Morley runner, you know, kind of benefits and got some experience and moves forward off the debut, I think this one could be a player. 5-1 on the morning line, I think you'll get some value there. Pletcher has Charging Lady. Last couple of starts were on the dirt. Nice improvement from two starts back to last time. Another one I could kind of see moving forward. You're getting 8-1 there. Kendra Carmouche is riding very well right now. So, again, I always tilt towards the Chad Brown Klarovich runners, and I think this one looks to maybe have an edge in here. But off of one start, you don't know. So if you're looking for alternatives, I think you can make a case for the 1, the 3, and the 7. I have it 5, 1, 3, and 7. Seventh race today at Aqueduct. We are looking at a plain vanilla $40,000 claimer. The one-turn mile in the 7th at Aqueduct. 4, 2, 7, and 3. I'm going to put Famished on top. Horacio De Paz, Kendrick Carmouche. They teamed up when moved to this condition last time and ran an okay second. They did it behind Last Chance at Glory. And I say it all the time. We try to get clever in situations like this. and look to switch it up, and more often than not, it comes in exactly the same way. But I'm going to be stubborn and think that Famished maybe gets a little bit of a move forward today. Given the class of this horse a little bit down the page, I think this horse matches up nicely class-wise at this level. Now, didn't class up any better than Last Chance of Glory last time. We'll see. Last Chance of Glory moves out of the Rob Attris barn off the claim, but moves into the Linda Rice barn. Obviously, she's very good off the claim. And so, boy, and you talk about a horse that's popular at the claim box. Last Chance of Glory claimed out of the last six starts, claimed out of seven of the last eight of the last nine. This is a very, very popular claim. And it's been in and around this level in many of those and won nicely last time, as I say, over Famished on the front end at the mile distance. We'll see, but I'm going to look to flip it up today. Famished over Last Chance at Glory. Steiner in the third spot. Tried Starter Allowance Company last time here at Aqueduct, and that was maybe a little too salty. But, boy, you look down the page, and typically what this horse fires is going to be good enough to match up with this group. I think you'll get some value there. And as I say, I think if this horse can bounce back to a more typical performance, fits in here. Orlando Noda has American Rule. Not seen since early in the Saratoga meet. That's the knock. Because of that, gets in for the waiver. I like that. They're not dangling the horse out there. So we shall see. But again, the layoff is a little bit of a concern there. In the seventh at Aqueduct, 4, 2, 7, and 3. Race number 8 at Aqueduct. Statebred optional claimer. Non-winners have won other than 3/4 of a mile. And in the 8th, I have 6, 1, 7, and 8. Don't Lose Cruz goes out for Dave Duggan. Kendra Carmouche on board. New in the Duggan barn. Had been racing for Rick Schossberg, who retired from training. Still see him around the track because he's going to be involved in the retired racehorse projects and whatnot. But the first three starts of the career were very good. Maiden special weight debut was a close-up second. Second start broke through that maiden rank. And then went into a little state-bred stakes race and ran second behind Acoustic Avenue, who is very talented. So what we've seen so far touts this one, moving back to the non-winners at one level. Don't Lose Cruz, logical. Starquist going out for John Kimmel also has looked good on the New York bred side of things so far, winning the maiden race, the maiden debut race, running third subsequently in a couple of stakes races. And was third last time behind Acoustic Avenue and Don't Lose Cruz, but like that far. So Starquist is a serious player in here. What's Up Bro has only tried maiden company so far. Two starts, one not so much, but obviously benefited from that last time and won very, very nicely. I think off of that maiden breaker belongs in here. I think they're making a good move to give this group a shot today, and then Gold in Them Hills. The question mark here is transferring from the Finger Lakes, but did face better company up at the Finger Lakes in both the Aspirant and the New York Breeders Futurity. Was behind Acoustic Avenue in both of those, and then had the maiden breaker last time, and that they were trying those stakes races as a maiden. Says they have some confidence in the horse. And we'll see how that bodes for today. But I think playable at maybe a juicy price for Gold in Them Hills. In the eighth at Aqueduct, 6, 1, 7, and 8. And we'll wrap it up at Aqueduct this afternoon, 4:16 in the p.m., according to the PPs. But as they say, do double check. They have, I can actually pull up quickly and see. All right, at this point, they don't have any changes, though. But you can check the changes page or listen to Chris Griffin to see. Because, as I say, the last couple of days, they have moved up post time slightly. But the finale today at Aqueduct, $16,000 conditional claimers, non-winners of two lifetime. The condition, six furlongs is the trip. For me, 1, 4, 3, and 10. I'll put the cobbler on top, Danny Gargan trainee. Couple of starts, but they were a better part of a year ago. January of 2022 and February of 2022. The first start a year ago, as I say, maiden special company, state bred maiden special company, and won pretty nicely. The follow-up in state bred allowance company was a dud and has been off since. And now this is a move I would normally like, state bred allowance into an open conditional claimer. And I have the horse on top today, but not necessarily because of that move, but rather that debut effort, and if we get back to that. But all of that said, the negative here is they don't go for the waiver. Off a long layoff like that, they come in for the 16. So they are kind of dangling the horse out there, a horse who showed some talent. We'll see. I think off of that debut effort, you know, and the question mark is off a layoff, but the debut, anybody's debut is off a layoff as well. So I'll tilt towards the cobbler, but with some trepidation. Joke Meister in the second spot comes in from Parks, and I would think was probably facing a little bit saltier down at Parks. So I think getting back to Aqueduct and dropping into this 16 level is going to be kind of a square fit with this bunch. John's Protege in the third spot broke the maiden for 22 back and then bounced up to the 40 level, and that just was a little too tough. I think getting back down to this 16 conditional level, we're driving into the comfort zone. Manny Franco on board, and Maddie's Marauder, Dave Donk trainee. And Donk, if you didn't hear me yesterday, Donk, I want to say, not counting yesterday, I don't know what the yesterday stats were, but going back to Friday's results and going back, Dave Donk had won three of his previous six, I want to say. So he got a little bit of a roll earlier this week after having been in a little bit of a slump. But sometimes those barns turn around and become very intriguing. So Maddie's Marauder on that angle also interesting and perhaps in the mix. In the ninth and final at Aqueduct today, 1, 4, 3, and 10. And as I say, that's a look at the pick five. Not a ticket idea necessarily because there are no scratches yet, but just some ideas if you do take a look at that sequence for a little bit later on. I'll be back, obviously, in an hour or so, a little more than an hour perhaps, for OTB Live for a Sunday afternoon. I'm going to take a look at some Aqueduct and some Gulfstream, certainly. We'll probably throw a little Tampa in the mix. We'll definitely throw some Oaklawn into the mix. Should be a fun afternoon. And so there were some preview ideas on Aqueduct, but we'll give you live ideas all afternoon as well. Otherwise, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll be in the home stretch and kind of wrap things up, but we'll do that by looking at some news and notes before we call it a morning here on Racing Across America. So stay with us.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player, to have a better knowledge of the game, to be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB, become a better horse player.
This is a championship meet. All the best jockeys in the world are here, and I'm excited to ride against them.
We back.
And you get to watch some really incredible, talented athletes out there.
Yeah. To us, it's a place to be in the winter.
I love Gulfstream Park because of the racing.
The palm trees, the beaches right here. The horse racing is some of the best in the country.
A lot of good horses come out of here. And if you want to go to the next level, Gulfstream Park was the place to come.
I remember the first time I came to Gulfstream, it was like this big fairy tale place. All the history. And all these great horses, trainers, jockeys. It was everything I ever dreamed of.
Welcome back. As noted earlier, no Santa Anita yesterday with the inclement weather. Anticipating more of that tomorrow. No Santa Anita tomorrow. But today, they will try to squeeze in the Sunday card. And I'll tell you to pay attention, 12:30 their time, so 1:30, 2:30, 3:30 our time, the opener at Santa Anita today, Maiden Specials. And you may want to tune in. We had Sgt. Pepper kind of disappoint at the $1.6 million purchase price and debut down at Gulfstream yesterday. But Hezazi, if I'm coming close to pronouncing that correctly, goes out once again for a Bob Baffert. And I note this one again, the opener at Santa Anita today, over $3.5 million purchase at Fasic May last year. And it's had three starts so far. A couple of seconds and a third. The second start of the career at Del Mar, tossed in a triple-digit 100 buyer figure, but did it behind Speedboat Peach, who freaked that day. Last time ran third in the American Pharaoh behind Cave Rock. So we'll see. 4-5 on the morning line. Mike Smith, once again, named to ride. Hezazi, worth paying attention to. And again, was sold at Fasic. The Mid-Atlantic sale, which I don't think is typically known for million-dollar purchases. But this one worked 9.4 before the sale. I pulled up the catalog page, and Dam has produced some winners, not black type winners, but the second Dam, Seeking the Ante, nice little graded stakes winning New York bred from a few years back. She produced some black type winners, and her offspring produced some black type winners. So maybe that bodes well for the Dam here, G note. Obviously, they were hoping over $3.5 million purchase. And again, that'll be the opener today at Santa Anita. The number one horse, Hezazi, the Bob Baffert trainee. We'll see how that one does. And again, that will go off our time at about 3:30. Also today on the Santa Anita card, the La Cañada Grade 3 event for fillies and mares, four-year-olds and up. It's a kind of a compact and, I don't know, uninspiring field. Morning line favorite at 2-1 is Ganadora for Bob Baffert. Three wins and five career starts, but comes out of a fifth last time in the La Brea. So we'll see. As I say, that's seventh race this afternoon at Santa Anita, but it's a bunch that doesn't necessarily get the juices flowing. The one that is more interesting, I think, is see what that $3 million runner does. You could see this coming with the situation early on at the fairgrounds meet, but Marcus Hirsch wrote in the Daily Racing Forum a couple of days ago that given the situation with the turf course and no turf racing early in the fairgrounds meet, handle was down more than 25%. Yikes. Through 29 days of racing, handle dropped close to 26% from 83 million plus in the first 29 days last year to 62 million plus this year. The track through January 8th had run 251 races compared to 270 during the same period last year. So as I say, you could see this coming. Turf racing, you typically get bigger fields. People like to bet into the turf races. And when early on at the fairgrounds meet, they said, yeah, we're not going to be on the turf now for a while due to the condition of the course. You could see it coming. Now, we'll see. They hopefully have that problem worked out. As I say, next Saturday is going to be a big card. I don't think they're going to climb out of this hole of that kind of a deficit early in the meet, but they certainly can rebound nicely. And we're clearly rooting for them. We root for all the players in the racing game. And again, the Hirsch article goes back to what I heard early on, that the turf course went wrong because there was kind of a drought in that portion of the country going back to summertime. So the Mississippi River went down. That meant salt water from the Gulf came up further. and got into the well that they were using to water the turf. So they were watering with salt water. I did not realize it because I had heard that a couple of times now, written by people following the situation, that was the exclamation for the fairgrounds. But according to Marcus Hirsch, and I'll quote, an exclamation many horsemen treat skeptically. So who knew? I don't know what the skepticism is or what they think that just bad maintenance. I don't know. But regardless, one way or the other, hopefully they have it worked out and they'll get back to a normal schedule down there. And as I say, rebound a little bit and have a nice remaining couple of months to the couple of months plus to the meet down there. And as I say, that'll kick off. They have holiday racing tomorrow. Keep that in mind. Fairgrounds will go on the holiday tomorrow. But again, the nice card comes up there on Saturday. So keep that in mind for next week. We'll certainly be talking about that as the week progresses. Also want to alert you, if you like the Turfway racing, and Turfway's been kind of fun this season. I mean, the purses have kind of juiced up a little bit. There's some notable barns in there. On any given card, you can find some crazy prices, and some of them are just crazy, and some of them are crazy in the way that they will figure with your crazy thinking. If you're looking and saying, you know, funny things can happen, and you're looking for something in a sequence that, where can I find a horse to blow it up? There have been those horses where the kind of things you might look for have worked out. And again, there are some of the crazy prices that just seem a little crazy. But it's been kind of fun, and there have been some chances to maybe hit something pretty good. But I bring it up because if you do like Turfway racing, they have now shifted their schedule. They're going to be nighttime throughout the rest of the meet, except for Jeff Ruby Stakes Day, which used to be the old Spiral. But that's March 25th. That will still be in the afternoon. Otherwise, Saturdays had been in the afternoon. The other dates for Turfway had been at night, but now they're all night. Saturdays will shift their post time from 12:45 to 5:55 starting next weekend. So Turfway going all evening moving forward. And wanted to alert you. Yesterday I mentioned the Amplify Horse Racing Group. Their mentorship program is open for applications now through February 3rd. I'll remind people if you weren't tuned in. If you know a young person, and in this area you'd have to think with Saratoga, with the harness track and the thoroughbred track up there, you'd have to think folks have or know young people who may be interested in potentially a career in the racing game. Amplify and our friend Denise Montpleasure, who was one of the founding members, now I think she's the executive director, and we've had her on the show talking about this. It's a group that their goal is to draw young people into the game, and they have a nice mentorship program. It's open to ages 15 to 25. It includes mentorships, media, racetrack and farm work, mutual wagering, sales, ownership, on the vet side of things. But they have applications open now through February 3rd for their mentorship program. And again, you can go to their website, amplifyhorseracing.org. Amplifyhorseracing.org. So I mentioned that yesterday, but subsequently also saw that the Jockey Club internship is opening up for applications. That will open up on Tuesday the 17th. The Jockey Club summer internship program is for college students or recent college graduates. Obviously, being involved with the Jockey Club would be a great star on the resume if you're thinking about moving into the racing game for a career. Jockeyclub.com, you can check that out. So again, they will start accepting applications for their summer internship, the Jockey Club, starting on Tuesday the 17th. And again, go visit their website for more information. And as I say, you would think in this area that we're probably right in the wheelhouse of finding some people. Although people from all over the country, Anise herself, Anise, I've said it yesterday, I've said it many times, Anise wound up having her on the show way back when she was in the program writing for the Clancy brothers, who they're a great way to get in the industry. If you look at the people they brought into the industry, you know, folks like Travis Stone and Gabby Gaudette started by writing for the Saratoga Special. But Anissa, a few years ago, was also writing for them. We had her over, and she came from Fargo, North Dakota. And, you know, we were kind of going over her resume. And as a 19-year-old, she was kind of a racing official at a three-day meet out in North Dakota, and subsequently has been involved in a number of things in the race, and got into the Flying Start program, too, which that's a very good way to move forward in the industry. But again, if you're thinking about that, Amplify and their organization or the Jockey Club, both good ways to kind of get involved in the game. If you are a young person thinking about that, or you know one, pass the information on. All right, I'm going to wrap it up for this Sunday edition of Racing Across America. Seth Merrill in the studio, a little preview, a little review, and more. We will have more of the preview and review on the live card coming up in, as I say, just about an hour. I would think with the 12:20 post time, the pregame show in New York will start within the next 10 minutes or so. That seems to be the game plan. So we'll get you to that. Andy and Anthony talking a little Aqueduct for this afternoon. I'll be looking at Aqueduct. I'll be looking at some Gulfstream. We'll pull some Oaklawn in, maybe a little Tampa as well for today. That'll all kick off, as I say, about an hour or so for OTB Live for Sunday afternoon. Otherwise, thanks to our friends at Gulfstream for their sponsorship of this and some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB. Gulfstream Park, championship meet. As I say, we live vicariously looking down at the sunny weather, although yesterday I think it was a little chilly both coasts in Florida, but that'll change. And we look forward again to our visit Florida Derby weekend when they wrap up the championship meet. But we appreciate their sponsorship. I appreciate your tuning in. I'm Seth Merrill. This has been Racing Across America for a Sunday morning. Again, be back in about an hour or so for OTB Live. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.